And welcome to your extended news at noon. And as we have been doing, we've been talking to great individuals around the area about what life looks like to them right now. And on the phone with me is Dave Jones with Dave Jones Turkey Farm. And Dave, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so the reason I wanted to have you on, well, actually two reasons. One, I wanted to see what life was like for you right now as we've been going through the past many months. But I also wanted to ask you about how you've increased raising animals on your farm. So let's first talk about what you've seen in the past couple of months and the industry that you're in and how that has changed or the adjustments that have come about.
Okay. Well, we normally did not raise poultry year-round. We would usually finish up in January, February, and then they'd be frozen in the freezer. But this year, we realized that we were going to have to do something different. Now, the turkeys, people really keep turkeys for the holidays. What we found out is that people want chickens every day. I guess I should have known that, but I didn't think of it. So what we found out is we sold out of chickens almost immediately, and people from all over were coming to buy the chickens. So we decided to start another batch of peeps, which takes 2 to 3 months to grow, and they're all processed and in the freezer right now. And we're just waiting for the second wave of people to start coming and getting the chickens. But a few turkeys are selling.
So did you see that change immediately, or did you have a certain amount of time when all of this started to really unfold on us a couple of months ago? Did you have a period of time where no one came because we weren't sure exactly where to go to get our food and what was happening?
Yeah, I think that... I think people were just sort of reluctant to go anywhere because of all of the these horror stories of these big conglomerate corporations that we saw a couple views on the news of how these people work shoulder to shoulder in filthy working conditions, cutting up the beef, the pork, the poultry. And I think that scared people. And I got a lot of phone calls and a lot of questions asked on how we raise ours. And I guess that's the biggest difference that I saw. People slowed down, then they started calling, asking questions, getting more comfortable, and then they started coming out. But once I ran out, I knew I was in trouble.
Okay.
Because... you know, I don't know if people found other locations to get the farm fresh frozen turkeys and chickens, but I raised a batch as quick as I could.
I think that's an interesting point that I believe that you're making, and it's what is coming to me as you're talking is the fact that we all did slow down. And I think we got out of our routine of where we actually go get our food, no matter where that is, no matter what grocery
right.
store. But I even did that a couple of times. I thought, okay, if we can't go to XYZ place where we're used to going, where else do we go? And it started making me as a consumer think very, very local. Like, you know, where can I go around to get the milk, and where do I go get the dairy, and where do I, you know, where do I go and get the chickens? You know, where do you go?
Right.
And I think that a lot of people then started focusing a lot more local than they had. Did you find that as well? Did you have a lot of newer customers that started to buy from you?
Yeah. We had a lot of local people that knew of me that had never bought anything from me, but were coming over. You know, we sell turkey breasts year-round now, too. We sold a lot of the turkey breasts and a lot of chickens. But the turkeys, again, for some reason, people have this stigma that turkeys are only for special occasions. And then we also had a lot of people from Pittsburgh come up. You know, if you go up 28, it's not a bad trip. And the weather really wasn't that bad, so... I have a lot of people from Pittsburgh calling up saying, you know, hey, we're afraid to buy down here in the city with this virus. And they knew the virus wasn't up here in Butler. They knew it was basically staying in Pittsburgh. So we had people come up for that reason, too.
And so what is your production like now? Has it changed at all? Did it have to shift? Because, as you're saying, you're not a huge manufacturing company like a lot of
right.
other locations in your industry. You are a local farm, and you do such a great job. You always have. But did you have to shift a little bit during this time?
As far as?
In the way of safety procedures or in the way that you handle the food.
Yes. Mm-hmm. On the other side of my business, I raise sweet corn. And because some people eat sweet corn without cooking it, last year I had to go through a certification program to become a good agricultural practicing farmer. And that may not, to some people that may not mean much or may sound silly, but I get audited, inspected, and then certified each year for my sweet corn for health reasons. Because of the lettuce thing that happened out in California mm-hmm. and down in Mexico, where obviously the human beings were going to the bathroom in the fields, and maybe animals were going to the bathroom in the fields, and it was getting absorbed into the plant and making the people sick. The United States Department of Agriculture is pushing produce farmers to become certified, so you know what to look for. I have to document everything I do with my sweet corn. When it's planted, what fertilizer I use, when it's picked, where it goes to. And I started thinking, because of that last year, when this COVID virus hit, I started thinking, you know, I better have safety precautions in place. So I called a number of experts, and we do a real good job of cleaning the place. But the one thing they said is use a little bit more Clorox bleach in your cleaning process. Even though people don't like the smell of it, it does a better job of cleaning than anything. So I have masks for the people to wear. They wear gloves. I have signs up everywhere down there about washing hands often. And I have people sign in whenever they come in to help. And I, if they look sick, I send them home. Now, this fall, whenever we do the thousands of turkeys and other chickens, I'll have a temperature. I'll be taking their temperature when they come into work. So I can assure everybody that we're following the CDC guidelines to a T. And that's important to me, even though the virus isn't up this way that much, I want to make sure everybody feels comfortable.
Absolutely. Dave Jones on the phone with me. His farm is in Cabot. I know, Dave, you mentioned a lot of folks coming up from Pittsburgh, so you're in southern Butler County, which is still not a bad drive if you're in the northern part of Butler County to come down and visit you. Do we have to call you ahead of time? How is it that you're making sure that you have the product for the people that are coming? So if I'm driving from Slippery Rock and I want to make sure that you have your product.
Okay. I have a website, JonesTurkeyFarm.com. I really prefer people to go online and order first, because then I can email them exactly right back saying, okay, I got your order. When would you like to come out and pick it up? And then, of course, they leave their phone number on my website also, my ordering form, and I give them a call. So they get an email answer immediately, and then I follow up with a phone call, and they come out. During the holidays, I'm around all the time. But this time of year, I would say from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, I have somebody here that can help people get their turkeys and chickens. And I have a self-serve, just like my sweet corn carts are all over the place in the summer. Where they're self-serve. I have a self-serve freezer down here in my shop, and there's enough signage down there where people know what to do. If they if you have any questions, my cell phone's there. But a lot of people come and just get what they want out of the freezer because it's labeled what it is. And I don't have to put a ingredient sticker on any of my poultry because it's a pure poultry. I don't use preservatives or drugs or anything. So that makes it easy for me, but it's a good thing anyway. So people, they should call ahead if they've never been here before. But a second or third time client could come in and get their own out of the freezer.
Yeah.
And if they don't, let's say that somebody really raided the freezer before they did, all they have to do is call my cell phone number and I'll come from wherever I'm at on a farm. It only takes a few minutes. People are happy to wait.
Well, and I wanted to make a comment on the waiting aspect of things. So, yeah, in that kind of scenario, if you have to wait for a couple minutes, that kind of negates what I was about to say. But if you are coming from a long distance or even a short drive and you don't want to wait, if you're calling ahead and you've already made your order, I think that's a fabulous way to do it because there's no waiting. And so I don't think anyone has to feel uncomfortable in standing around and they can just pick up their product and
right.
go.
It's almost like curbside pickup
right.
because they can open
right.
They shouldn't. They don't have to worry about any viruses around the freezer. I usually, if somebody calls me and let's say I'm in Butler, you know, it's a 15-minute drive from my place, and they say, "Hey, we're stopping by in a couple minutes," and I'll say, "Okay, what are you looking for?" And I'll say, "Yes, it's in that self-serve freezer. Go ahead and." Get what you need and just put the check or the money in the money box. And most people are happy to do that. And most people say that we have the best poultry in the area, without a doubt. I've never, if I get a complaint or a suggestion, I have a book where I keep track of those so that it's not just something that just blows over my head. I take comment seriously, and then we look into it. And if there's room for improvement, we make it. And if it was just an accident or something that happens one in a 10,000, we call the people back and say, "This is what happened." But we get maybe once a year, I get a phone call from somebody saying, you know. Why is this? Why is that? And we write it down and we keep our eye open for it.
Dave Jones on the phone with me. Jones Turkey Farm is where you can find him online. You just put the .com. I know there are .nets and .orgs and all that, but JonesTurkeyFarm.com is a place you want to go there. Dave, I want to ask you about your industry, but I guess I'm going to focus locally on this question. Just because, again, you're a different size of a farm than some that are out in the country. But what's your revenue look like? And I don't need to ask details on that, but it sounds like if you're raising chickens every day, that would be more of an expense. But it also sounds, as you're describing to us, that you're doing pretty well. Is that pretty even for you, your revenue versus your expenses? Or how are you doing as a farm right now?
Well, right now, I explain to people that we're running on fumes because spring is the time of year that you lay out all your money for seed, fertilizer, fuel, labor. And I believe that one of the reasons we decided to start raising chickens year-round and have plenty of them is so that we'd have monthly income. But again, for some reason, when we ran out, people got frustrated with me, or they just went someplace else, or they don't know I kept telling people, call me in June. I'll let you know. We'll probably have more processed by then. But the business really hasn't picked back up like I thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad that you're able to describe what you're going through right now, because if people have been listening and they thought, oh, he's doing fine, he's doing well, it's nice, well, not nice, because I wouldn't wish any of this on anyone, but it's interesting for you to say that you're running on fumes, because I think a lot of the industries that I'm talking to are saying the same thing. They may have some customers coming in, but they're still worried about their bottom line in a month, in 6 months, in a year. Yeah. How do you keep this going?
Yeah, no, I would be in pretty good shape if people, you know, I have 600 fresh frozen chickens in my freezer down here, but they're not selling at the rate they should. And I've been doing a little bit of advertising, but I really expected people to come back more quickly, especially when you hear the horror stories of, you know, these packing plants all over the country shutting down and everybody in the plant having to be tested and a great percentage of them having the virus. It's like, who do you want to eat that food? I know they say it can't be transferred on food, but do you want to eat that food coming from those big packing plants? I know I wouldn't.
And do you think that there's a disconnect between folks who are not aware of what it takes to raise the food? And that's not anything against the public. I mean, I'm one of those individuals. I don't know how you do your job. But do you think there's a bit of a disconnect there in understanding the time it takes to raise the chickens or raise the turkeys and then process everything? Because folks are wanting to get their food.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. Last year, we had to raise the price of our turkeys at Thanksgiving for many reasons. And there were some people that were quite upset, a few of them. Most of them took it, you know, as routine. But a couple of people, they just couldn't understand it. And I proceeded to tell them what all we have to do in our raising of poultry. And In some people it might have sunk in, but I think more people just said, yeah, whatever, Mr. Jones. People don't. It's obvious to me people don't know what it takes, because they go to the store, they see what they want, they grab it, and they run. And it's, you know, half the price of what I have to charge. They send most of the poultry in our country go to these big packing plants, and they have immigrant workers working side by side, and they can put, you know, we can process 100 turkeys or 100 chickens an hour. They might be able to do thousands an hour. And they have, modern machines. We do everything the old-fashioned way, and people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When people come out and really take a look, because our sales room converts into a partial processing, our processing room turns into a partial sales room, and people come in and see the old style antique equipment we use, and they're intrigued, but they always leave saying, "I'm glad that we know that our poultry isn't rushed through at the speed of light. You know, it's." They can see that we take our time, we do things right, everything's stainless in our shop, and all of our employees that help are very knowledgeable on their specific task.
Right. Dave, I want to ask you about your corn before I let you go. I know we're quickly running out of time. You did talk about, or mention at least, the wagons, the bins that you have, the tents out there on wheels. Will you have that again this year?
Yes, but it was so close to not happening. The seed companies and the fertilizer companies, they were very leery this spring. Even if you'd done business with a seed company or an energy company, a fuel company for years, they were very leery at extending credit this year because of the coronavirus and the economy tanking. But I would say that this is the closest year that I came to saying, you know, I just can't take the risk if we have a bad year. But I prayed about it, numerous times, and I concluded, you know, if it's to be, it's to be. If it's not, it's not. But, yes, we're going to have sweet corn at all of our wagon locations throughout Butler County, southern Butler County, northern Butler County, and northern Allegheny County, some in Westmoreland County also. We have the super sweet white and the super sweet butter and sugar. I do have to raise the price a little bit this year on the sweet corn because of obvious factors.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, Dave, I'm so glad that you joined us for a few minutes, and I'll just make mention of this, and you didn't ask me to say this, but I know a lot of us locally are sad when things go away, and we want to make sure that you stick around. So we need to support you. We need to support your industry, but we need to support local in order for those things not to go away. And
right.
So, you know, buy local, buy from Dave, buy the chickens, buy the turkey, of course, the corn that we're talking about. This is Dave Jones with Jones Turkey Farm. Even though it has turkey in the name, he has a lot of chickens. So, you know, you can, and the corn also, but you can get online if you want to get that food and order from there, jonesturkeyfarm.com. Dave, before I let you go, is that the only contact you want to give, or do you want to give a phone number while I have you?
I can give my cell phone number out. 724-321-4416. At 24/7, that phone is in my pocket.
Absolutely. Dave, thank you so much for your time, and blessings on you as you continue to go forward this summer and into the fall. And thank you for all that you do.
Okay. And just I want to make one last comment,
yes,
too. The average person doesn't realize how close every farmer comes every year to saying, you know, I'm not sure I can go another year. Even in Butler County, with the trade with China and everything being so inverted, it's just so tough. It's just so tough. But thank you very much.
Dave, thank you very much. And again, I'll just implore everyone in Butler County to buy local and buy from these farmers and keep everything moving here in Butler County. Dave, thank you so much.
That's a great thing. Thank you very much.